The scriptures for today are the scriptures for Wednesday of Holy Week. The gospel comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 21 through 32, and reads thusly. Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of the disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give the piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should go give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once." Let us pray. Lord, speak to us through this scripture. But on this Wednesday before Good Friday, speak to us in a way that helps us to be prepared for Good Friday and for Easter. Help us to put this in the context of our own life. Help us to participate in that night when Jesus did gather the disciples together and when Judas did betray. So, Father, help us to not run from ourselves, but rather to look at ourselves. Look at ourselves deeply and be convicted of the things that keep us separated from you. Because all we desire really, Lord, is to love you and be with you even more than we are now. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. The gospel is an interesting gospel. It's set in the context of that Last Supper. It's set in the context of the time when Jesus, just before he's arrested, gathers the people together, that is, the 12 apostles, and he sits and has a meal with them. It's a Seder supper. And they've come together. It says very clearly that Jesus is troubled in spirit. Troubled in spirit. What does that mean? You know, as I look at those words, troubled in spirit, I think of all the times that I'm troubled in spirit. I think it has very little to do with, in a sense, having your day go well. But rather where somewhere in the midst of it, you know that you're going to be broken from someone else. Where you're going to be separated from somebody that you have grown to love and know and trust. Or somewhere in the midst of it, either by your own actions or your own actions, that somehow you know that separation is going to take place. In this case, Jesus wasn't separating himself from Judas, but rather Judas was actually separating himself from Jesus. It says very clearly that he's troubled in spirit because he knows someone's going to betray him, and immediately the disciples all ask themselves, who is it? Could it be? Who could it be? Could it be me? Could it be me? It's amazing how human nature, when something like that takes place, puts you in the questioning mode of, could it be me that makes the mistake? I find myself in that so often. in this time of the pandemic, I realize, you know, the responsibility that I have, because I'm the one that actually encounters anyone who comes through drive-through church or comes to the office, that you're going to be in contact with me. I'll be real upfront with you. It's sort of a heavy, troubling kind of thing for me, because I'm not really afraid of getting the coronavirus. Maybe I'm just cocky because I think that, well, I'm healthy enough to handle it, which I do believe I am. But I'm more concerned that somehow that I would contract the disease and then give it to somebody who wasn't capable of handling it. You see, the responsibility that we have in this day and age is an incredible one. Because you may be young, you may be healthy, but as we found in especially early days of this pandemic in Italy, where the young and the old mixed together, the young were kind of loose with the way they sort of interacted with people, and then they came into contact with some of their parents and grandparents, and lo and behold, they passed the disease off to those folks who were much more vulnerable to being infected and ultimately die. Isn't it funny how responsibility is such a difficult thing? I wonder if we're ever going to get to the place in our life where we actually retain that we are responsible to our brothers and our sisters. The scripture goes on, because after they all ask themselves, then all of a sudden it says, Simon Peter doesn't ask Jesus himself. It says he asks the disciple whom Jesus loved, who's sitting right next to him, which, by the way, this is the Gospel of John. Guess who the gospel that Jesus loves best is? It's John. It always makes John look better than everybody else. But nonetheless, Peter asks John, ask the master who it is. Jesus does not answer clearly. And obviously, for some reason, the disciples lose their train of thought, because Jesus says to John, it's the one whom I give this piece of bread after I've dipped it, and I give it to them. Jesus gives that piece of bread that he's dipped to Judas. And it says, immediately after receiving the bread, Satan enters into him. Now, it's not Satan with a big S, but it's Satan with a little s, which means adversary. In other words, at that moment, Satan, the adversary of God, but also adversary of another person, enters into Judas. Jesus says to Judas, go and do what you need to do. Go to do it quickly. The disciples, here's why I say they weren't paying attention, immediately say, well, it must be because, well, you know, he holds a common purpose. Maybe he's buying more food for the Seder supper. Maybe he's buying the supplies that we need for staying here. Or maybe, you know, because he's got the common purse, maybe that Jesus is saying, go and give money to the poor, because that's what Judas did at times. But something much more great is going on here. And the thing that's much more, in a sense, overwhelming is that what Satan is doing through Judas, or the adversary is going through Judas, is for Judas to go and sell Jesus out. He's on his way at that point to say, I'll turn you over. I'll give you the guy you want. I'll make it so you get it. And he says, and he goes, and he does it. I wonder how many times we have been an adversary of Jesus or of God. I mean, it's the little stuff. Maybe it's not the big stuff. But where, in a sense, little s enters into us, little Satan. And he enters into us because we want to do our own will and not the will of God. Where we want to do it our way and not sort of, well, do what God wants. It may be in the way we interact with people. It may be simply the way we respond back, which we would say, well, that's just human nature. Or we would probably say at times, it's not even just human nature. We would say something to the effect of, well, I just reacted. Reaction is where we can become adversaries real quick, isn't it? It's because we get threatened somewhere in our own self. The self that's not a true self that's within us, the false self that's within us, gets threatened. And we feel like God is somehow, you know, moving into our territory. We don't think of it as God. We think of it as other people. You know, I really believe that when I feel threatened, the thing I've got to evaluate the most is, what's really threatening me? Is it real or is it not? Is it the real me that's being threatened? Because to be upfront with you, the real me is the image of God that's within me. The real Jim is the image of God. And it can't really even entertain a threat. It's never said anything negative to me. It's always been kind to me. But that false self that's me, a lot of times is very mean to me. It's where if somebody sort of says they don't really fully endorse what I'm doing, I think, well, what's the matter? You're saying something about me? Really, maybe they just have a different opinion. It's where somebody disagrees with me and I say to myself, well, wait a second, what does that say? Is that personal? Somewhere in the midst of all this, Jesus didn't take it personal about Judas. I don't believe he ever took it personal. I think he thought, this is really sad. My spirit's troubled because somebody has to betray me. And Judas is the one that's doing it. That I've got it sort of move through what's going to happen, that's part of life. You know, I've been betrayed quite a few times in my life. Sometimes by friends. But I've been betrayed a lot where it really wasn't a betrayal. It was just a disagreement. Where it was just sort of going in a different direction. I hope as I grow older that I can differentiate between betrayal of trueness and betrayal that I just turn into betrayal. Because betrayal that I turn into betrayal really isn't betrayal, that's just part of life. Life is tough, it's difficult, but God is good. And the biggest betrayal that I have, probably in anything else, is a betrayal I do of myself. Where when I look at myself, I think I'm the center of the universe and it's all about me. When I think, why didn't everybody just say, attaboy, Jim? Or wonderful job, Jim? That's the biggest betrayal I have. Because the older I get, the more I hope that God and I are all I really have to have. And everything else is gravy. My friends, my family, that it's all gravy. Because truly that is to live life. That the Father is all I need. I think that what went on here more than anything else is that Jesus was getting prepared once again in a different way for what he had to go through on Friday, where everybody did, in a sense, move away from him. Yeah, it did fulfill the part of the drama where he had to be betrayed and turned over to the authorities. But I think it was also a lesson that Jesus was supposed to learn. That really, the only thing that was important was that he was with the Father and the Father was with him. Because you see, if we have the Father, we've got everything. But if we have everything and we don't have the Father, then we've got nothing. I pray that as you go through this Holy Week, and by the way, we will be doing a Maundy Thursday teaching, a Good Friday teaching before we get to Easter. But as we move closer into this Holy Week, I pray that you really, really look deeply into your life. Acknowledge when you betray yourself. Betray yourself to that true self. That in my case is the image of God called Jim. But for you, it's the image of God called your name. Because that's who you really are. And God will never betray you. As he promised, lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.